Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about gynecomastia. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/gynecomastia or in the breast surgery section of the Zero to Finals surgery book. So let's get straight into it. Gynecomastia refers to enlargement of the glandular breast tissue in males. Male breast enlargement is relatively common, particularly in adolescents and older men over the age of 50. It may also be present in newborns due to circulating maternal hormones or hormones from the mother, and this resolves as the maternal hormones are cleared. Let's start by talking about the causes. Gynecomastia is generally caused by a hormonal imbalance between estrogen and the androgen hormones, for example, testosterone, with higher estrogen and lower androgen levels. Raised estrogen stimulates breast development, while androgens have an inhibitory effect on breast development. Prolactin is a hormone that also stimulates the glandular tissue development, as well as breast milk production. Therefore, a raised prolactin or hyperprolactinemia can cause gynecomastia. It's worth remembering that dopamine has an inhibitory effect on prolactin, so dopamine blocks the effects of prolactin. Dopamine antagonists, for example, antipsychotic medications, block dopamine production, which allows prolactin levels to rise because the blocked dopamine doesn't have the inhibitory effect on prolactin. So the prolactin levels rise, and this can cause gynecomastia and galactorrhea, or breast milk production. Therefore, in male patients on antipsychotic medications, they may develop a high prolactin level and also gynecomastia or galactorrhea. Gynecomastia is idiopathic in many cases, meaning that no cause is found. Gynecomastia can be physiological in adolescents, where there is a proportionately higher level of estrogen around puberty, and this resolves after a few years as the hormone levels balance out. Gynecomastia can also be caused by conditions that increase the level of estrogen, and these may be obesity, and remember that aromatase is an enzyme found in fat tissue or adipose tissue, which converts androgens into estrogen. So if there's more fat tissue, there'll be higher estrogen levels. Increased estrogen can also be caused by testicular cancer, and remember that estrogen is secreted from Leydig cell tumors. Higher estrogen is also found in liver cirrhosis and liver failure, hyperthyroidism, and human chorionic gonadotrophin or HCG secreting tumors, notably small cell lung cancer. A Tom tip for you, it's worth remembering the link between gynecomastia and Leydig cell testicular tumors. About 2% of patients presenting with gynecomastia have a testicular tumor. A question in your exams might describe a patient presenting with gynecomastia and ask what additional examination should be performed. The answer will be testicular examination. It's worth also examining for signs of liver failure and hyperthyroidism. Gynecomastia can also be caused by conditions that reduce the level of testosterone. And this could be testosterone deficiency in older age, hypothalamus or pituitary conditions that reduce the LH and FSH levels, for example, tumors, radiotherapy, or surgery to the hypothalamus or pituitary, Klinefelter syndrome, which is a genetic condition with XXY sex chromosomes, so two X chromosomes and a Y chromosome, orchitis, which is inflammation of the testes, which will reduce the testosterone level, and this could be from infection with mumps, and finally, testicular damage due to trauma or torsion. There's a long list of medications and drugs that can cause gynecomastia, and these include anabolic steroids, which raise the estrogen levels, antipsychotic medications, which increase prolactin levels, digoxin, which stimulates estrogen receptors, spironolactone, which inhibits testosterone production and blocks testosterone receptors, gonadotrophin-releasing hormone agonists, or GnRH agonists, for example, guzorelin, which is used to treat prostate cancer, opiate medications, for example, illicit heroin users, marijuana, and alcohol. A Tom tip for you, it's worth remembering spironolactone as a cause of gynecomastia, as this seems to come up in exams. It's also worth remembering to ask about anabolic steroid use, as this is the most common cause I've seen in young men in clinical practice. A large proportion of cases of gynecomastia will be idiopathic, meaning that no clear cause is found. Let's talk about the assessment of gynecomastia. It's important to distinguish between gynecomastia and breast enlargement due to obesity, which is called pseudogynecomastia. Remember that gynecomastia is enlargement of the glands and the ducts, whereas breast enlargement due to obesity is just increased fat tissue in the breast. On examination, there will be firm tissue around the areolas in gynecomastia, representing growth of the glands and the ducts. This is different to simple fat tissue, which is soft and more evenly distributed. Once it's confirmed that the breast enlargement is due to gynecomastia, the next step is to try and establish the cause. The key points to cover in the history are the age of onset, the duration, and the change over time, any associated sexual dysfunction which may indicate low testosterone levels, any palpable breast lumps or skin changes, because it's important to exclude breast cancer, any associated symptoms that may indicate the underlying cause, for example, testicular lumps or symptoms of hyperthyroidism, any prescription medications, for example, antipsychotics, spironolactone or GnRH agonists like gozarelin, and any use of anabolic steroids, illicit drugs, or excessive alcohol consumption. The key points to cover in the examination are whether it's true gynecomastia versus simple adipose tissue, whether it's unilateral or bilateral, any palpable lumps, skin changes, or lymphadenopathy to exclude breast cancer, the patient's body mass index or BMI to assess for obesity, a testicular examination for lumps, atrophy of the testicles, or absence of the testicles, looking for signs of testosterone deficiency, for example, reduced body and pubic hair, looking for signs of liver disease, for example, jaundice, hepatomegaly, spider nevi, and ascites, and looking for signs of hyperthyroidism, for example, excessive sweating, tachycardia, and weight loss. Let's talk about the investigations. The choice of investigations will be determined by the history and the examination findings. Simple gynecomastia in an otherwise healthy adolescent may be physiological and nothing to worry about, so it may be managed with watchful waiting. In contrast, unexplained rapid onset gynecomastia in a 30-year-old male with no apparent underlying cause may require in-depth investigation. Blood tests that may be helpful include a renal profile or eusinese, liver function tests, thyroid function tests, testosterone, sex hormone binding globulin or SHBG, estrogen levels, prolactin levels for hyperprolactinemia, luteinizing hormone or LH and follicle stimulating hormone or FSH, alpha fetoprotein and beta HCG levels, looking for testicular cancer, as these are testicular cancer tumor markers, and potentially genetic karyotyping if Klinefelter syndrome is suspected. Possible imaging investigations include breast ultrasound, which can help assess the extent of the gynecomastia, a mammogram if cancer is suspected, a biopsy if cancer is suspected, a testicular ultrasound scan, again if cancer is suspected, and potentially a chest x-ray if lung cancer is suspected. Let's talk about management. Management depends on the underlying cause. Gynecomastia almost always resolves with time in adolescence, as this is just physiological and improves over time as the hormones balance out. If the gynecomastia is caused by a drug, for example, anabolic steroids or spironolactone, stopping this will usually resolve the symptoms. Patients may be referred to a specialist breast clinic where the cause is unclear or cancer is suspected. Treatment options in problematic cases, for example where there's pain or psychological distress, include tamoxifen, which is a selective estrogen receptor modulator that reduces the effects of estrogen on the breast tissue, or surgery. So thanks for listening to this episode on gynecomastia. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing this podcast. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll talk about galactorrhea, or breast milk production that's not associated with pregnancy or breastfeeding.